In China, your credit could depend on how often you visit your parents. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Amy Choi, in for Molly Wood. Few Chinese citizens have credit cards or any sort of credit history, but the country has started incorporating more credit into its economy and culture. And the government is working on a way to measure credit worthiness for both businesses and individuals. Its plan, a social credit score. The idea, first introduced in 2013, is akin to the American FICO system in that it's a financial record of whether you paid your bills or traffic tickets. But the Chinese government is also tracking social behaviors and figuring out how to incorporate those into your score. It's all connected to a citizen's ID number, which is required to do nearly everything in China. I got an update on China's plan with Marketplace China correspondent Jennifer Pak in Shanghai. She says the process for calculating social credit is evolving.
For example, a company can pay their taxes on time, or in one city in eastern Jiangsu province, shop owners can boost their credit ranking if they volunteer for community activities. And for individuals, it's tough to say. At the moment, they haven't really fleshed that out yet.
How are the social behaviors being recorded and reported? What is some of the technology behind that?
China's government already monitors its citizens, right? There are lots of things that you can't do without giving your ID number, which is why it's very easy to impose an array of penalties. One of the easiest ways to get bad credit is if you have a court case, you lose, and the judge orders you to pay a fine, and you repeatedly disobeyed this order. So then you're put on what the local media call the list of deadbeats. And in some severe cases, the courts can then swap your ringback tone, so that every time somebody calls you, instead of hearing a ringtone, they're going to hear a message that says, you have reached somebody who has refused to pay a court-ordered debt. And there are a number of ways in which authorities have tried to publicly shame defaulters.
So once all that data is centralized, how will the government be calculating the scores?
It's anyone's guess at this point in time. There are very few details. And I have to say, it's very difficult because initially it started out with these blacklists, right? But then certain cities, they're piloting their own systems. In Shanghai, for example, if you jaywalk, if you refuse to visit your elderly parents, if you don't sort out your garbage into the appropriate bins, or you're dodging train fares, those can be recorded on your social credit file. We spoke to a professor who advises the government on setting up this database. She is pushing for just a digital archive, a collection, a centralized system documenting all of your good and bad behaviors, and then letting companies or whoever needs to look at that file to do their own assessment. Which factors will they weigh more or less? Eventually, they're going to come to a score, but at the moment, there really isn't.
That was Marketplace China correspondent Jennifer Pak. The Chinese government hopes to have a national social credit framework in place by 2020. The scheme has raised alarm bells among human rights activists, but Pak says everyday citizens don't seem overly concerned. I'm Amy Choi, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
Not everyone gets a chance to learn about the economy in school. Marketplace helps you continue your education in a way that's smart, accessible, and hopefully a little bit fun. Your donation is not only an investment in your own learning, but also in helping us make more people smart about the economy. And that's good for everyone. To learn how you can help, visit marketplace.org/investors. And thank you.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.